World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Yeah, I was just thinking about Jefferson Starship. Wasn't that their name? I think so. Something's happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. Well, I got some stuff today, man. I just got some. We live in unbelievable times. And we live in such unbelievable times. Here's what I think is happening. By the way, thanks for joining us. Hope you all had a great weekend. I've been fighting a cold, head cold, cough, all of it. I think I'm over it a little bit today. So, do my best to fight our way through this today. You know, it says in the last days, a lot of crazy things going to happen in the last days. And you know, you can go about any church in America, or you go to any Christian television program, and it's almost we're oblivious, really, to what's going on. And I guess name it, claim it, blab it, grab it. I believe all that stuff, blessings from the Lord. I guess that gives us good encouragement, makes us happy and slappy and all that kind of stuff. But my experience, again, I haven't been around the world, but my experience is, for the most part, as part of our theme is here at Coach Dave Live, the church is really kind of oblivious to everything that's going on. I mean, we look at the signs and signs of the times, whatever the heck that means, but we really don't know what it means to. How do we engage it? The stuff popping up all around us. For instance, this thing called Palantir. You guys ever heard of Palantir? Palantir. Spence, pull that up real quick if you could. I didn't give you a link on that one. Pull up Palantir. Talk about knowledge, right? Knowledge base, artificial intelligence. Hang on a second. Somebody help me out here. What does artificial mean? The word artificial. Come on, Spencer, earn your money there. Look, go to Webster. What's artificial mean? Artificial. Because artificial to me is made or contrived by art or human, feigned, fictitious, not general or natural. Huh? Artificial intelligence. Do we trust artificial intelligence? Where does it come from? How can you speak into a phone and have, I don't pick anything. Mark Trump did one on me the other day. Speak into a phone and a bunch of data comes up. And like a story's being told about you just from something somebody said. Someplace out there, there's information. Where would that be stored? All that information. Say, well, Coach Dave, it's in the cloud. It's in the cloud. What? In the cloud? What are you talking about? It's in the cloud. But there is somehow a supernatural world that we really don't get. And we call it the cloud. We call it AI. We call it whatever. What the hell? What is that? Is there a world around us that we really aren't tuned to? Is it really? Craig just put in here, alien intelligence. Communication not with the dead, but with the fallen angels, fallen times. Could AI, come on now. We're grown-ups here, aren't we? When you go to church on Sunday, does your pastor talk to you about artificial intelligence, the demonic world, influences of the dark side? Do you know anything about that? Understanding of it at all? Why don't we? And why is it that those of us who carry the name of Christ seem to be so oblivious to all this stuff that's going on around us. I mean, really. Artificial intelligence. Artificial, not real. Not real. So there's something out there, isn't there? You know, those of you watch regularly know that I talk about the fact that we're in an aquarium. We're in an aquarium. And there's forces on the outside of that aquarium that can reach into the aquarium, pull it up. Spencer, pull it up there again, that picture of an aquarium. And the Bible says we're encompassed about with so great a cloud of witness. What do you mean encompassed about? What are you talking about, Willis? Encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Well, we call them dimensions. We call them realms. Hey, that's a good one, Spence. Pull that one up there. Realms. And so here we are. Talk about a spiritual realm, evil spirits in high places. Those little kids looking into that aquarium, they can see in the aquarium, they can see all the fish, but the fish can't see them. Why? Because they're in a different dimension. Different, whatever that means. Whatever that means. And we're encompassed about, the Bible says, with so great a cloud of witnesses. Look at that cloud of witnesses looking at those fish. Is that going on with us right now? Are we really encompassed about with, what do they like to tell you? Grandma's dead. Oh, grandma's looking down on you. So your grandma's, is that true? Can grandma really look down on you? Is heaven just another dimension? Just when you died, you just passed from this dimension into another? And I was thinking, I'm looking at our little grandbaby, our newest little grandbaby. And, you know, she's growing, getting older every day. Where'd she come from? Where'd she come from? The union of an egg and a sperm created that life and the ability to think and reason and eventually talk and learn a language. And where did it, from an egg and a sperm? And what have they told us? What have they tried to tell us the whole time? That through evolution, we just evolved into this. Evolved into this. Excuse me, I'm going to be coughing a lot on you. Because we know at the very heart of it, seed of the serpent, seed of the woman. When you get right, when you grind it all down, you get very back to the very, very basic. It's truth against lies. Did God really say? That's what Adam said. No, it wasn't Adam. Maybe it was the demon said it to Adam. Did God really say that, Adam? And Adam said, well, you know, I didn't hear it firsthand, but I got it from my wife, spoke to my wife. And that comes back to the whole thing. Who told you that? Why do you believe him? Why do we believe him? We know this, that the victors write the history. The winners write the history, not the losers. And do we really, in that 66 books or 88 books of the Bible, whatever it is, do we really, really understand the depth of that? Do we really understand what it was like in the time of Enoch? Because there was a time when Enoch roamed the earth. Do we really know what it was like? Can we have any understanding of it all, of the biblical flood? Was it really a flood? What happened? How do we know all that? And to think about everything that we know, stay with me a second, everything we know, come on now, is generational or precept upon precept. We know a lot more now than we knew when I went to high school first in 1968. The information we have would prove so much of the stuff they taught me in 1968 wasn't true. Would you guys all agree with that? Would you all agree with it right now? But we don't want to believe it's not true because we learned it in school.
Amen.
School. And because it's been the history and it told us over and over and over and over and over and over, we believe it to be true. When now that we look back and have greater intelligence and things that a lot of that stuff they told us maybe wasn't true. Maybe it wasn't true. And I'm not here to question anybody's faith. My faith is stronger than it's ever been. The Bible says that I believe it, that settles it. Well, that's not true. We know that's not true. Because we argue on what the Bible really says. Well, the Bible says that here, and it says this here, and Bible situational, yada, 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 right? Right? There's something going on, man. And to think, Dr. Paul, I look at Dr. Paul there, a doctor. To think that Dr. Paul spent all that money and went to school for them to teach him that man just evolved. And we taught our smartest people, who we all figure our doctors were the smartest people, right? We taught all of our doctors at the basis of it was evolution. We just evolved out of nothing. Paul, would you agree with that? Would you agree with that, that medical science denies the existence of God? Did you ever, Paul, go into a medical class, anything like that, where they acknowledge the miracle creative hand of God? Ever have one of those, Dr. Paul? I don't know if he can hear me. He can hear me. And so what? So we know that the victors write the history. And so much of what would be true. What if it's not true? Huh? What if it's not true? I'm going someplace. Stay with me today. So I wanna dive into that a little bit tomorrow, okay? I'm gonna dive into it. Hey, let me ask you this. I don't know if Bob Evans is out there. I'm becoming more and more convinced. Sorry. Bigfoot's real. I'm becoming more and more convinced that Bigfoot is real. And by Bigfoot, I believe Bigfoot, my opinion, I don't have it based on anything, I don't know, is interdimensional. Interdimensional. So what do you mean, Coach? I think that Bigfoot, when Bigfoot appears, he appears from a different, he's from outside the fish tank. And I know some people, and I think you probably know some people too, who claim to have seen Bigfoot. And isn't it amazing that you can't really get a picture of Bigfoot? That he has the ability to disappear just at the right times? Something's happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. Something crazy going on there. We'll dive into a bunch of that stuff today. Why do we believe what we believe? Before I forget it, tomorrow night, Craig and I are going to be on WCN-TV tomorrow night. Not me and you, Craig, tomorrow night. Think so? Guys, try to join us on that. And I don't know about you guys. I'm shifting gears on you here a bit. We had a great job of staking the other night. How many of you guys went out and put some rocks down? But the fellowship was rich. Fellowship was good. And we blocked those demonic forces coming down Route 40 out of Washington, D.C., out of Maryland. We blocked those here down through our strip in Ohio. And again, just had a great time of fellowship. I'm trying to reel myself back in here because crazy times, man. Palantir, I mentioned that, didn't I, Betty? Betty, didn't I mention that? Poem number 9. Palantir. I look up Dr. Paul. You look like you're frozen on my screen. I don't know what's going on. Hey, AI. Mark Trump, are you out there, Mark? I mean, you're always out there, Mark. Mark, if you could, just come in here and explain to us, what is artificial intelligence? There, Paul, I can see it. Now I can see it, bud. Artificial intelligence. What would that be, Mark? Okay, he's always in here. Artificial intelligence. Artificial intelligence. See, where I grow up, that means fake. Something artificial is fake. Fake. So Palantir is one of these monsters of artificial intelligence. And I just came across this clip today because, folks, this is happening all around us now. These data centers. Why are data centers such a big deal now? Because of all this AI and all this, it's interdimensional. It's interdimensional, friends. It's not artificial intelligence. Somehow we have breached dimensions. And by the way, doesn't the Bible tell us that men's hearts are going to fail them for fear for things coming upon the earth? To know right now that with a click of a button, government knows about everything. They got a lot of information on you, folks. Got a lot of information on you. Where is that artificial intelligence? Play this thing, Palantir.
So what exactly is being built under the American people's noses right now? Sadly, from the political right. You know those 2,500 to 3,000 data centers that are being built all over the United States of America that's going to use millions of gallons of water and energy enough to power an entire state? I wonder if it has anything to do with this.
What if I told you that there was a company called Palantir and their entire existence was to hear your whispers so they could predict what you would do next? Now, what if I told you it was backed by the founder of PayPal and the CIA? What if I told you Palantir was quietly connected to your bank statements, social media, medical records, and a lot more? Then what if I told you their entire purpose was to understand and blueprint your life so they could predict exactly what you do next? If you want to know what that's called, it's called behavior surveillance. Palantir isn't just surveillance, it's predictive governance. Control the data, control the decisions. Well, at that point, you can basically control anyone without them knowing that you're doing so.
Israel and blackmail, they don't really need blackmail anymore. But Palantir, Peter Thiel's company, really makes it so that, I mean, that's the new Jeffrey Epstein at the end of the day. If they want to blackmail you or know something about you, they just access what Palantir sucked up about you. And your search history, your communications, your finances, tweets you've liked in the past, all sorts of things. In the surveillance era, you know. The disturbing thing about Palantir is that it's really about pre-crime. They were the pioneers of predictive policing. You know, they were originally, well, almost everywhere they piloted predictive policing have been low-income minority neighborhoods. Where they decide who's going to commit a crime before they commit it. That would basically involve going over American social media posts and identifying if they had early warning signs of neuropsychiatric illness.
This Gotham software, to give more context, is kind of like the universal surveillance for police departments within a city. It's one of the flagship products of Palantir offers. It's used in New Orleans for predictive policing. Right. And it's used in many police departments across the United States. And I think many more that we just don't know about because there hasn't been a FOIA request. In Los Angeles, they had a system that was feeding from every traffic camera, from every police department, from universities, cameras at the universities. What they could do with this system is if they have a list of suspects, well, let's look. We know what car he's driving.
So what exactly?
Okay, so again, they tell us it's in the cloud. But what are we talking about in the cloud? In fact, I just had to pay more money on my cell phone to get more space in the cloud. Huh? Something's happening here. Now, I noticed that Danica put in there something. Dan Duval has a 12-session teaching on interdimensional understanding. Dan, I don't know if you could get that link, if we could see that, Danica. I'd be really, really interested in that. And all this data, all this stuff that they're flooding us with, why? What's going on? Is something going on? Another dimension is being exposed to us. Now that Paul can respond, I'm going to go back to Paul a second. So Paul, we live in a world where medical miracles, medical treatment, science-based medicine denies. It's atheistic, is it not, Paul? It's atheistic. That everything they teach you is all just an act of just accident. It just evolved. Would it be safe to say that, Paul? I can't hear you, man. I hate to put you on the spot. I can see you driving. Yes, Mel, science has become a religion, has it not? It's become a religion. And as a result of it having become a religion, those of us who carry the name of Christ, who understand religion, we ought to have a greater understanding than anybody, shouldn't we? Shouldn't we really understand Holy Spirit? Huh? The embodiment of the Holy Spirit inside a human being? It's real. It's real. But it's a spiritual thing. It's not a physical thing. But now that we see Palantir and the idea that Palantir and AI, they can read your mind. What? Someplace out there, there's information stored on who I am and what I've done. And Betty, there's information on you and what your gene is. Somewhere out, what? What? men's hearts failing them for fear for things coming upon the earth. So the Bible says, man, huh? Oh, I got so much more. I'm going to shut up because Jack wants to get in. Let me get you in here a little bit and see what y'all. Oh, I got some good stuff. Go ahead, Jack.
Yeah, just real quick. They're showing us, it's right in front of us. What Palantir is doing is what Southern Poverty Law Center did before there was a cloud. Mm. And isn't it interesting that all of a sudden they're throwing Southern Poverty Law Center under the bus because Palantir is in the background and nobody knows what it is.
The Southern Poverty Law Center, for those of you who haven't followed that, the Southern Poverty Law Center, who was designed to fight racism, we now find out has been funding racism. They have the Southern Poverty Law Center, which is a pro-black racist support group. We now find out that the Southern Poverty Law Center is, in fact, funding anti-black racism so they can stay in business.
The most subversive organization in the country. They are the subversives.
Yeah, that's going on, folks. That kind of stuff is going on, right? Why? Because the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the earth. Lies, deception, and fear, oh my. Lies, deception, and fear, oh my. Now ask yourself this. How can Christians survive in a world of lies, deception, and fear if we never talk about it at church? If we never stand in the pulpit on Sunday and show people the lies, the deception, and fear. Why do you have to go to church on Sunday and have a man stand up in front of you and tell you what the Bible says? You can read that. Why doesn't the man up in the Bible show you? Why don't they do a lesson on artificial intelligence and demons and influences? Oh, I got so much more stuff here, huh? Oh, it's all right out there. It's all out there. Just nobody compiles it. Why? Because first of all, the government's atheistic. So they don't want to touch anything that might be spiritual. No way are they ever going to go there. Because if they begin to talk about the spiritual and good and evil and the devil and spirits and a demon, they'll lose control of everything. Because then people will then go back into the Bible. So they can't be doing that. They can't let you know that that's going on. Yet the only defense we have is that it's weapons of our warfare, not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We don't even talk about it. People are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Kevin, come on in.
They've been telling us all this all along, Dave. Tom Cruise put out a movie in 2002, 24 years ago, called The Minority Report. Pre-crime. It was about pre-crime. I mean, we've had soft disclosure all along, but we've not had eyes to see or ears to hear.
That's right.
And one thing I appreciate about this group, and the farther that I've gone along with my relationship with Christ and the opening of my eyes and the opening of my ears and being able to discern truth from lie, deception, mm-hmm. and fear.
Amen.
This group has helped me. And I mean, I can see now that I couldn't see before. But we have to know, we've been told for 20, 30 years that this was coming about. Hollywood has always been about soft disclosure. Satan can't do what he wants to do to you unless he tells you first.
Lies, and deception, and fear. Oh,
he's been telling us all along.
Amen. Lies, deception, and fear. Oh, my. Lies, deception, and fear. And for the most part, where we should be getting the truth, they're not really telling us the truth. Right? Amen.
Because the church is using it. The church is using it.
Well, that's where we should go to get all truth, right? Oh, my goodness. Who's up here? Hang on. Joe Allen. Come on in, Joe.
Hey, man, Kevin. You're right. In 2014, there's another one that the Hollywood came out with called Transcend. Everything from putting foreign material into our blood, what happened in COVID, to these data centers controlling our lives. So if you want to watch a good one, it was, came out in 2004 or 14 called Transcend.
It's right in front of us, right, Joe? It's right in front of us.
Yeah.
Right, have any of you ever, really, now seriously, Has anybody ever sat you down at any time in your life and explained to you artificial intelligence and how that works? Where it's in, hey, Betty, are you looking at me? It's in the cloud, Betty. It's in the cloud. What? Yeah, it's all in the cloud. What? Information is in the cloud? Yet it is. That's extra dimensional, is it not, folks? Are we not dealing with interdimensional, extra dimensional stuff every day and not acknowledging that that's really what's going on? Crazy, man. Come on in, Betty.
Well, I was just going to say, I didn't do it, but let's say I just bought a 2026 Ford vehicle. And I found out that there's cameras in the dashboard and sensors in the steering wheel and sensors in the seat. So I go home. Well, then a tornado's coming my way and I am emotionally distressed. I need to get out there. There's fear. You know, you're freaking out and you jump in the truck and you can't go nowhere because it senses that you are emotionally distressed.
That's right.
They got this no kill switch or this kill switch.
That's right. That's right.
And people don't realize that you're going to get stopped or let's say someone got hurt. You can't even move because the senses that you are not fit to drive.
That's right. That's right. I was reading the story. I won't get into it. This guy lost his key. Lost his key. couldn't do anything. What would be a better word for artificial intelligence? How about demonic intelligence or extraterrestrial or interdimensional, folks? Something out there we can't see. Sorry. Something we can't see. Come on, Craig.
Well, it's an alien intelligence, Coach. Alien. Right? AI, right? Okay.
Yeah.
So you want, I can read it in the chat, or you can go back and read it. Okay. Well, remember the Dark Knight? Remember the guy that ended up killing himself after playing it? Okay, I asked Spencer to pull up a clip. I don't know if he picked it up yet. It's in the chat. Let me read it about who Morgan Freeman played. You'll remember this if you watched it. He played Lucius Fox. Kind of sounds like Lucifer, doesn't it? The brilliant CEO of Wayne Enterprises and the technical mastermind behind Batman's gadgets in Christopher Nolan's The Dark Knight trilogy. Notice the three. Begins The Dark Knight. And The Dark Knight Rises. Freeman's character served as a trusted advisor, moral compass, and father figure who provided specialized equipment like the Batmobile and the Tumbler. So why don't you go ahead and roll that clip there, Spence?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
Beautiful, isn't it?
Beautiful. Unethical, dangerous. You've turned every cell phone in Gotham into a microphone.
And a high-frequency generator receiver.
You took my sonar concept and applied it to every phone in the city. With half the city feeding you sonar, you can image all of Gotham. This is wrong.
I've got to find this man, Lucius.
At what cost?
The database is null key encrypted. It can only be accessed by one person.
This is too much power for one person.
That's why I gave it to you. Only you can use it.
Spying on 30 million people isn't part of my job description.
This is an audio sample. If he talks within range of any phone in the city, you can triangulate his position.
I'll help you this one time. But consider this my resignation. As long as this machine is at Wayne Enterprises, I won't be.
When you're finished, type in your name.
Well, okay. Where was that the city at? Anybody know that last clip? Those bridges? Might that be Chicago? Might that be Oprah? Might that be Obama? Might that be, what was the guy's talk show host? Phil Donahue. Okay. Gotham City.
Hmm.
Where's the Pope from?
Chicago. Stop it. Stop it. Oh, my goodness. Interdimensional. Hey, I need somebody a lot smarter than me to explain to me all these data centers. We've talked a little bit about these data centers. Data, they're everywhere. Data centers. Why do they need so much cooling? Why do they need so much water to cool them? What is going on at these data centers? I mean, really, I'm asking a question. Somebody smart enough to answer that for me? Why do they need so much water? And why do we need so many data centers? The hell? What's going on? Gino, come on in.
I can answer that for you, Coach.
Go ahead. Okay, go ahead. Hang on, Gene. Go ahead, Greg.
Okay, the first element in the periodic table is hydrogen. What's water made out of?
Two parts hydrogen.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And so isn't there waters above the firmament and waters below the firmament? So you would need waters above the firmament. Okay. And if hydrogen is a crucial element in that, then guess what? And we're 70% water. Human beings are. And there's 70% water on the ocean or on the earth.
Hmm.
Spiritual, but physical.
It's all spiritual, but we don't. Those of us.
And remember, God's spirit hovered over the waters in the beginning of Genesis. His spirit hovered over the waters.
See, we are spirit beings living a natural life. We're not natural beings living a spiritual life, folks. We are spirits. We are a spirit who lives in a body. We possess a soul. This natural realm that we're walking around in really isn't where we operate. Just ask yourself right now, where do thoughts come from? Where do memories come from? Where are memories stored in that mind? Where is it? If I ask you right now, can you go back and tell me something crazy that you did when you were in the high school? Or how about this, a football game that you played or some great play you made? All of a sudden, boy, you remember that. So, yeah, let me tell you, 1962, I was at, here's what happened. Where is that? Where is that in that brain? Where's that stored? Because my wife, I love my wife to death. She gets upset with me because I forget dates and times. Can anybody raise their hand and say me too? I said, honey, was that Tuesday we're supposed to do that? Or is that Thursday? And what time? And she says, I told you that four times. Why can't you remember? I said, because my brain is full of much more important information. Would anybody agree with that? I say, honey, that's why I married you, so you can get me there on time. Because to be honest with you, my brain is so full of stuff that I don't have time to remember what time David's ball game is. Anybody with me? So you think about your brain and all the information and all the stuff that you are storing in that brain. And think about when you hear a song and it brings back a memory. Some Elton John song, and you start playing that Elton John song, and all of a sudden, oh, you remember where you... Where is that stuff, folks? Where is that? And how is it that modern science seems to have tapped into that? They've tapped into data... What? Data center ain't nothing more than digging into somebody's memory. That's the way I see it. I don't know, man. I don't know. Gino.
Yeah, I just want to tell you, we've all been made artificial, Coach, with that capital letter name. That capital letter name is not you and me. But notice and go look at your bank accounts, your driver's license, many birth certificates, many marriage license. It's all capital letter name. They've started this a long time ago. We're all artificial, and we admit to it.
Well, I would say that there's a lot of truth to that. But my question is, how do they control us? Mind control.
We were taught from little. That's who we are. We were taught.
So who told you that, and why do you believe it? Dave Allison, come on in.
Yeah, good morning, everyone. You know, Coach, you made me feel pretty good this morning, I got to admit. When you said we got to overcome all the lies they taught us in school, to be candid with you, I didn't pay attention to any of that stuff, and I got report cards to prove it. So I feel pretty good about myself now. And
you don't have to learn all that stuff, do you?
I was way ahead. The Holy Spirit must have been helping me there. So anyhow, and then I just wanted you to know, University of Michigan runs the Michigan Department of Transportation AI. When you cross over the border of Michigan, if you got one of those cars, they know you're a Buckeye fan, they'll shut your car off.
Hey, don't give me any ideas. All right. Don't give me any ideas. Because that's true, right? Huh? Folks, all these new modern cars, they have the ability for the government to shut your car down. You know that, don't you? Come on, tell me you know that. Right. Yeah. Yeah, they just shut your car down. That's all. Right. Well, how can they do that, Coach? What's in the cloud? What? Yeah, it's in the cloud. And the cloud is what? Nothing more than an invisible something out there. And so if there's an invisible cloud that holds our information, what else is that cloud holding? And you think about, well, Bigfoot, I got some stuff on Bigfoot today. I know people who've seen Bigfoots. Do you call them Big Feet? Or do you call them Bigfoots? I want to be grammatically connected. I know people who've seen them, and everybody laughs off of them. Yet we know that there's a cloud. We know there's a cloud. You can't see the cloud, but we know there is one because that's where all your data is. Is Bigfoot in the cloud? Where's he? What is he? Interdimensional? See, not extraterrestrial, interdimensional. Those aren't the same. Oh, I'm all over the place. Jack, come on in.
Yeah, I can hear in Gene's voice the just so upsetting. You know, old people have been fighting this stuff for so many years, and you're talking about the cloud and AI and data centers. Well, before that, it was fusion centers. Remember fusion centers, anybody? We were fighting fusion centers. Why? Because they were unlawfully storing our data, storing all our personal information so that the government could access it, because the government didn't have the authority to store it themselves. Otherwise, they would have done it already. So here we are. And Gene's talking about all the way back before that, we had the capital letters and all that. They've been setting us up for this. And some of us have been trying to shine the light on it, and it's so frustrating to see it now. Here we are, and you can't reverse it.
So, Jack, help me out here, because I just got a notice last week. Said, listen, you're running out of space on the cloud. Anybody get one of those? You're running out of space in the cloud, but for $10 a month, we can buy you more space in the cloud. What? Who owns that cloud? And how do I buy space on it? If they got enough space for me to buy some, who's controlling the cloud? The heck? See, we don't ask these questions, do we? We just go along. We just go along to get along. We don't even ask this question. Same thing comes back to money.
Exactly. We don't even know what that is.
It isn't anything. Money isn't anything. All money is something that somebody will take because they think it's an exchange that we take. We give our life for money. And it's basically meaningless. They print it. Fiat currency, fake money. So, well, I don't know if you're picking up on this. Here's what I'm trying to get us all to see. This. Called end time, whatever you want to, the exposing of what's really going on is happening right in front of us. And for the most part, those of us who go to church are missing it. We're not talking, we don't talk about it. Let's talk about the end time and what it means going to heaven. And, you know, I said the other day, heaven's just another dimension, isn't it? Isn't it just another dimension? You die and you pass from this dimension into another dimension. And are grandma and grandpa really up there looking down at you? Can they see you? And waiting for you? I don't know. We don't even question it. And we don't even really understand what it means. Where's heaven? What's another dimension somewhere? Oh, it's in the cloud. Heaven's in the cloud. Something going on, man. Joe Allen, come on in. Sorry for sniffing all of you today.
Well, we just lived through it, didn't we? January 6th, facial recognition, handing your phone that you carry in your back pocket.
That's right.
It used to be a hair follicle. We could find out who was there in the situation of a crime. Now you carrying the boob tube in your back pocket, and they're watching you and hearing you.
Joe, not only that, if the police pull me over and I have to go to court, they can bring up all my searches on Facebook and YouTube and everything I've looked at. Where is that stuff, folks? Where is that data? Where is it? And why does it take millions of gallons of water to download it? What the hell's going on? There's something going on interdimensionally here that we don't get, that we don't understand. Bible says things coming upon them, men's hearts failing them for fear, for things coming upon the earth. It's coming. Things are coming upon the earth. Clouds, data centers, water, spying. Wow. Kimberly, come on in.
Well, you know, there are actually hundreds of patents that they don't even need our cell phone to find us.
That's right.
We are like cell phones. They can find us, just our bodies. It's called the Wide Body Area Network. We are all connected individually, our bodies, to the cloud.
Amen. Amen. Wow. Betty.
Things are here. People need to realize that. So when I went to Charlotte last week and we went to pick up the twins, Gretchen, my daughter-in-law, just stood in front of this camera. Checked her out. There's no receptionist, no nothing, and it let her in. So it's coming.
Betty, my cell phone does that now. I don't have to put a code in anymore. It just recognizes my face and opens it up.
What? Pretty sad.
Pretty sad, right? Pretty sad. Jack.
Oh, sorry. I thought my hand up, but I just put in the chat thing, the what used to say on your money. Because we've been fooled for all this time. It used to say it right on the money. This bill is legal tender for all debt public and is redeemable and lawful money. It said on its face it was unlawful money. And we still don't get it. How are we going to get data centers?
Well, Jack, you know why it doesn't matter, Jack? Because I can pay right online and never touch a cent of it. I just pay. I just click and clink, blink, I don't know, man.
Bingo.
Something's happening here. What it is ain't exact. Okay, I got a couple things I want to show you. Pull up number 11. Pull up number 11 and play it at 1.5 speed. Started right there where I started, about 1 minute mark. Why the time that I can't, this is pretty good. This is why most churches never see deliverance. They don't even talk about it. They don't even talk about deliverance. Folks, listen. They know everything about you. Not the church. Government knows everything about you. Demons, whatever it is, they know everything about you. But we don't understand the supernatural. We don't even believe in it. Put it at 1.5 speed and just listen to this. Go ahead. Why is most churches never see deliverance? By the way, when's the last time you went to church and they talked about it? Go ahead.
My videos, and they're like, dude, you're talking way too much about this sort of stuff. I never realized that. It's like, hey, let's look proportionally at what the gospels actually talk about in regards to Jesus' ministry. It was predominantly this stuff.
Yeah, and then but that's the thing, the apostolic leaders, they also continued that. So it's not like, yeah, oh, Jesus dealt with demons and then it was over. Paul steps up, Peter steps up. As a matter of fact, in Acts chapter 19, they're praying over handkerchiefs because they don't have phones. They don't have these means of reaching people. So they're like, hey, I can't physically get to them. Let me pray over this physical object, take it to them as a representation of this impartation of the anointing. And it says two things. In Acts 19, it says when they touched the handkerchiefs, they were healed of diseases and unclean spirits came out of them. Now, I'm not recommending that you start selling anointed handkerchiefs from your YouTube channel. Might be a nice side hustle for Luke. I don't
cancel that order.
You know, and people have made that weird, like they've made a weird thing out of that.
Yeah.
I truly believe the heart behind it was, and I want the audience to catch this. The heart behind it wasn't, let me get some kind of mystical object that holds power. I really believe the point of it was, we believe so much that people need to be free from the influence of demons and that they can be healed, that we will do whatever we can to get a point of contact to them. Yeah. And so it's like, and that's why I've been grieved at the American church that just refuses to talk about this stuff. And I'll tell you why, because it's almost like this weird fear of they're going to think that I'm that guy. And it's like, dude, you believe that a teenage girl was impregnated by a spirit and conceived a human named Jesus. If you're a Christian, if you're a Christian, you're already in on psychopathic level, crazy. Like, you know what I'm trying to do? I used to be an atheist. So I look at the world through an atheistic lens. Mm-hmm. So it's weird to me that like, you're going to try to convince me. And by the way, that half-breed human that only had, you know, Mary's genetics and the other bit were God's, he died and 3 days later came back from the dead and then ascended into heaven in front of hundreds of people. So it's like, if you already believe that, why are you mad at me talking about demons? I honestly think it's less weird to talk about demons than it is the incarnate Christ. And so I think for me, it's just like, I've been the guy that was the fringe guy for a while, mm-hmm. and I'm going mainstream now because everybody's actually reading their Bible and realizing that their local church pastor cut out 95% of it. And I know that sounds mean, but
people are hungry for it.
Yeah. Oh, let's talk. You know what it is? Let's talk about marriage. Let's talk about this. And they became almost like self-help gurus, right, minus the supernatural. Yeah. And then when I was just like, well, what if we just actually teach the scriptures, no matter how awkward it gets, it produced a lot of fruit.
You made the comment about the handkerchief. And I think what's interesting about that handkerchief story, where it's like almost as if the anointing, which I have theories that the anointing of God is like actual substance, like it's substantive,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, that's why we lay on of hands, not because it's a symbolic gesture, but it's the way that substance of God can actually move from one vessel to another vessel. But it makes me think about YouTube ministry in general. And my question to you is like, you're preaching online, you're doing a lot online. Do you have testimonies of like deliverance or healing happening through YouTube preaching?
Yeah. Well, James chapter 5 is what you were referencing. You know, if there's any sick among you, bring them to the elders, have them anoint them with oil and lay hands on them. That's James chapter 5.
Right.
So what was normal in the local church 2000 years ago is like, hey, I'm sick. I'm going to go and I'm going to have elders of the church actually take oil and put it on me and pray for me to be healed. Now, again, that doesn't mean that everybody was healed. Of course, people still died, but that was a regular occurrence. So there would be an expectation for healing. So that expectation would be so great that was their normal practice. So my thing is, again, we should normalize that, right? It should just be like, hey, of course I'll pray for you. Now the results are on God, not on me. That's why I don't feel any pressure. I'll pray for anybody because it's like God, the results are on God. God gets the glory. God gets the credit. And so when I got to YouTube, I didn't come to YouTube as a YouTuber. I came to YouTube as a guy who was physically praying for people since the late 90s.
Yep.
And so I just started praying through the screen. And one of the most dramatic stories, and I hope this builds people's faith, because as somebody who went through an atheist phase, I believe in medical verification. Mm. As a matter of fact, Luke was a physician. You know, and I don't even think that they gave up the medicinal aspects because, you know, even Paul tells Timothy, hey, if your stomach's upset, drink a little wine to settle your stomach, mm-hmm. which was medicinal use. So I think a lot of ignorant Christians, and it's like either or, but I think biblical Christianity is a both and. Like, yeah, we believe in the wisdom of doctors and we believe in the power of prayer. It's mm-hmm. a both and. And so for me, I would say these things online. So I would say, I'm going to pray for you, but I encourage you to go to your doctor to get the verification of what I believe can happen right now. Amen. And one of the first stories that happened, and it was in our Queen's office, is I'm online. I had thousands of people on, and I was just like, hey, I do believe though in medically verifiable miracles. And I know this makes me sound crazy. And I know that, you know, you like people could listen to this and think, oh, this is one of those televangelist nut jobs. I'm like, but let's do this. I'm going to pray and you go to your doctor and get a confirmation. In that one stream, two things happened. Number one, there's a woman on staff at a Baptist church who had crippling MS. And, you know, as you know, MS is there's no cure. There's treatments to alleviate symptoms, but there's no cure. Immediately she feels mental clarity, pain subside from her body. I mean, she felt like she was healed. Now, I don't, of course, know this is happening because I'm just looking into a camera. So I tell everybody, hey, here's my website, write my website, blah, blah, blah. So that woman who worked at a Baptist church on staff, she goes to the doctor and they actually go through three rounds of verification because you can't tell somebody you don't have lesions in your brain. It could be very harmful,
right,
like medical malpractice to say, yeah, you just don't have MS anymore. So they're taking her through rounds of confirmation. I don't, meanwhile, this is taking months. I don't even know this is happening. I've never met the woman.
If that clip stirred you up and you think, you know what, I need to know.
Okay, freeze. Okay, look, I want to throw something up else up at you. Excuse me. My brain just went, oh yeah, right there it was. Go back there. this guy's a good dude. Jason Howerton, he's a good dude. most overt demonic activity I've ever seen. Go ahead, play it.
Most overt demonic activity I've ever seen chronicled in the national news. I've never seen anything like it. I'm going to show some disturbing images. This transgender dude, now remember, he's targeting Christian children. Look at the things that are written on the gun clips that he used to kill Christian children. So you got here, for the children. Go to the next one. He wrote on it, "Where is your God?" Okay. Go to the next one. "Israel must fall." So we're noticing a pattern here. Okay, this is a person who is feeling not gendered, non-binary, whatever you want to say. Interestingly, in the Bible, guess who is not gendered in the Bible? Angels and demons. They are non-binary. They are gender fluid. They're targeting children. They're targeting Christians. They're targeting the land and the lineage of the Lord. Well, this is starting to sound a little creepy. I wonder what's going on here. Go to the next one and look at what this dude was using for target practice. It's literally a picture of the crucified Lord. Now let's go a layer deeper because it gets a little creepier. This is the next one, is this drawing that he had in his notebook of him looking in a mirror with a demon looking back in the mirror, and then there's all this writing, and this is a translation of the writing, and the translation is, "Who, when will this end?" So you have a tortured person, an oppressed person. "Help me, I don't want to help." And then what's the demon say back? "Kill yourself, kill." Listen, bro, sometimes the greatest argument for the existence of God and the truth of Christianity is the very obvious existence of demons. That's that right there. It's literally like somebody opened the Bible and went, what do demons do? And then they did that thing. So every Christian should see this stuff and we should go, hey man, I know exactly what that is. The book of Ephesians says, our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And then it says, but greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. This is
Wow. Okay, look, I'm gonna give you some good news. I'm gonna send you, make you happy here. We got about 8 minutes. I came across this. This is number six. Saving a newborn. This is amazing. And think about this, folks, with abortion, how many babies we're killing. So what you're gonna see here, this is a guy, a doctor in the emergency room, and a baby is born. And he ain't breathing. He ain't doing anything. Watch this. This is powerful. Go ahead. Thank you. Wow. They called them stillborn, didn't they? Stillborn. Stillborn. Wow. Cold water. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. All right, let me throw you one more. That number, this ain't got nothing to do with anything other than this just blew me away. Point number seven. Little thing to cheer you up at the end of the day. You tell me how this lady is able to train this dog. It's unbelievable. Go ahead, play it. Understanding of the world and how it's controlled. Oh my goodness, we ain't got no clue. We ain't got no clue. We ain't got no clue. See you tomorrow.